You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
And now, Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Move the Sticks. DJ Bucky with you on a Tuesday. Buck, first of all, as folks are listening to this or watching this, they might have already seen the soccer match, the World Cup match, USA versus Iran. It's a win and go win game. Before we get to American football, yeah, have you got into the World Cup? Have you watched any of this stuff?
I have watched some of it, and I know that the USA had to win and get in. I did get a chance to see them kind of do the deal, and they had a draw versus England. And so I've been paying attention to some of the stuff, but I'm waiting until we get to those latter rounds, and I kind of do the casual thing and kind of tune in and act like I'm a soccer expert.
Yeah, no, I so want to do it. I'm thinking maybe if we can win this game in advance, then I'll invest. I was kind of cautious to invest early. Let's get into the next stage. If they advance to the next stage, I'll probably be appointment viewing for me and I'll jump in. But man, some people are crazy passionate about this thing. So hopefully as you listen to this, America got a W and they moved on here. The United States moves on. So we'll see what happens. But let's jump into some American football and what we saw last night in a game that was not pretty, I would say, would be the best way to describe that, especially when you're watching Indianapolis Colts offense. It's a little tough to watch. It's a game that the Pittsburgh Steelers win behind Kenny Pickett. George Pickens makes some plays, but just your overall takeaway, big picture here, Steelers 24, Colts 17. What do you think?
My initial thoughts go to Mike Tomlin, just kind of figuring out a way to get his team to play. We go through this exercise every year with the Steelers where they slump, but somehow he finds a way to kind of right the ship before the end of the season. Kenny Pickett had a solid game, a solid performance, really steadied the offense because remember, this team had to play without Najee Harris for a big part of the game, and he was a huge part of what they wanted to do. And so there you see the numbers. Kenny Pickett, 20 of 28, 174 yards, added 32 on the ground. Just enough playmaking from what we would consider a game manager to get it done. But as long as they play the kind of defense that they were able to play, this team will always have a shot to win.
Yeah, I mean, look, they're sitting here at 4-7. You think about Mike Tomlin's track record, the non-losing seasons run that he's had. I mean, they play Atlanta on the road next week. They could be at 5-7. They play a Baltimore team that throw out the records with that rivalry. If they somehow get that, they're 6-7. And then they're on the road at Carolina. That could get them to 500. Like, there's a chance they come into the last three games, you know, as a 500 football team and really, you know, still alive in the playoff race at that point in time. So I just never count out a coach like Mike Tomlin. You look at some of the stars they have defensively, they come out. You know, you see Minkah Fitzpatrick and what he does. I think George Pickens is an emerging star. TJ Watt, we know what he brings to the table. They've got guys with big-time ability at some key positions, and I think you're seeing Kenny Pickett start to grow up a little bit. I know one thing. When I look at them having Kenny Pickett in place, I think I would rather be the Pittsburgh Steelers going forward. If you look at it, Pittsburgh right now would have the 12th pick. The Indianapolis Colts would have the 14th pick. But I know in Pittsburgh, I know my head coach, who I believe in and is steady and as good as there is in the NFL. And I've got a young, cheap quarterback that I think's got a chance that we can build around. In Indianapolis, you do not have your head coach of the future. At least we don't think so. And we'll see how Jeff Saturday finishes this thing out. And then you look at the quarterback position, and they don't have that guy either. So of these two teams, I'd much rather be Pittsburgh going forward.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. Like, when I think about the Pittsburgh Steelers, they're rock solid. They're rock solid because they have a young quarterback. They have a head coach who knows how to figure it out. They have young defensive playmakers that should be able to improve this unit. And then they still have enough star power on the perimeter on offense to be an explosive team when they get on track and get together. So, yeah, if we're banking on the next 2 to 3 years, who I got my money on? My money is all on the Steelers. I think this is a team that we'll talk about the next couple of years reemerging as a title contender.
Yeah, I think that the to-do list for the Pittsburgh Steelers in the offseason is going to start and end with the offensive line. I think they've got to make upgrades there along that offensive line. I think that'll help Kenny Pickett as he goes forward. We know they're going to find wide receivers. That's something they can do and they've done forever. So they'll be able to find those outside the first round, continue to build weapons around your young quarterback. I think corners, you know, adding some corners. I think this Mike Tomlin defense kind of goes to another level. when you can marry your front with your back end. I love Minkah Fitzpatrick. I love what they have on the edges. Even Alex Highsmith's been a good player for them opposite of TJ Watt. But I feel like the corner position is an area they can address.
Yeah, they still have been looking for the corner. They can't quite figure it out because this is a team that for years lived in zone dogs, and you wanted guys with great feet and hands and awareness, not necessarily as much speed. Then they had some man-to-man guys where they took some chance on guys to see if they could lock up and play man-to-man. Now they're kind of back to the old version of the Steelers where they want to bring pressure, but they still want to play a zone blitz behind it. It requires a different skill set, different than the ones that you're seeing utilized now where people are like really snug and on people and turn and transitions. Zone coverage is eyes, awareness, anticipation, and IQ. You have those things, you can be a very, very successful player in zone. So I look for them to find a corner that can do some of those things while also being a good tackler.
And with the Colts, I mean, doesn't this feel like a young, creative, offensive-minded head coach combined with a ushering in a new quarterback? I would love to see an athletic quarterback come into the mix here for the Indianapolis Colts. We talked about it when they tried to make that move earlier in the season, but I don't think we thought Sam Ellinger was that guy. But if they can find somebody with some athleticism to pair up with the big receivers they have, you saw Pittman make some plays. You've got Alec Pierce. Jelani Woods had a great game last night. He looks like he could be a future star as a tight end. They've got some good pieces. You have Jonathan Taylor back there. I just think you get a young athletic quarterback to throw in the mix there and a kind of a creative, offensive-minded head coach that you're not going to worry about leaving after a year and getting a head coaching job elsewhere. It seems like that would be the formula that would make a lot of sense for this organization going forward.
Well, it does make a lot of sense. And we've talked about it before on a previous podcast where we talked about the mobile quarterback and how it can impact the game and how the Indianapolis Colts should consider jumping in the derby with an athletic quarterback. Everyone's biggest fear or concern when it comes to Justin Fields has been, hey, worry about him getting run over and those things. Well, now I think about the success that the Bears had with Justin Fields running around will lead other teams to think about using an athletic quarterback to jumpstart the running game. And so when you think about the Colts and you think about the long-term play at the position, man, you go get a young, dynamic athlete who can play the position, who can run and do all the RPOs and still has the vertical ability. It gives you more flexibility. It gives you more variety. It gives you an opportunity to kind of zig when the rest of the league is zagging and to find a nice niche for yourself where you're different than everybody else. And because of that, you dominate them when the games are played on your terms.
Now, I also just think, man, when you bring in a pure passer, right, you bring in a pure pocket passer, there's no buffer as they're developing because they're not going to be successful until they understand what you're doing schematically, they understand what the defense is doing, and then they build a rapport with the group around them, including the play caller, the offensive line, the playmakers, as we talk about. If you're an athletic quarterback who can come in, and eventually you want to grow into all those things, you want to be able to evolve and be that guy. But in the meantime, I can zone read, I can power read, I can quarterback draw. I mean, there's so many different things I can do. We can still move the football and score points while I'm still trying to get to that point as a passer. It seems like, man, if you're the GM making that pick, it's a lot easier because you might get flushed out of the league pretty quick if you're a pocket guy and we throw you in and you fail. But if you're an athletic quarterback, we can always say, okay, man, we're moving the ball, we're scoring some points. He'll get there. We just need to be patient. He'll get there eventually as an anticipatory passer and being a pocket guy. Man, I'd feel a lot more comfortable turning in that card for an athletic guy at this point in time.
Well, I mean, I think we all would. Going all the way back to my time in Green Bay, Mike Holmgren would say, I want a quarterback who is an athlete. Not necessarily I want an athlete who's playing quarterback, meaning I want someone who can play and do all the things that we expect the quarterback to be able to do inside the pocket. But I also want him to be able to bail me out when he feels the pocket collapsing and he needs to go make a run on his own. Or maybe we do some design quarterback runs at the end to seal the deal. And so you're seeing more teams spend more time with the quarterbacks, dig deeper into the background and really see if they were functional players that contributed or if they were just guys that were on the sideline.
Yeah, no. Interesting takeaways when you watch a game like that, and not only just watching the game between the two teams, but kind of projecting where these two teams go. Again, some good pieces for both these teams. I don't want to shortchange the Colts. To me, you need to find your head coach, you need to find your quarterback. Those are two big to-do items in the offseason for the Indianapolis Colts. All right, speaking of to-do items, we're going to dig into the Los Angeles Rams, a team that just won a Super Bowl with a certain philosophy. But is it time to change? Is it time to switch things up? We're going to get into that right after this break. You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
NFL Plus is here, which means no matter where you are, this is how you football. With NFL Plus, watch live, local, and primetime games on mobile and listen to live game audio now through Super Bowl 57. Sign up for the rest of the season with a special offer of $19.99 by going to plus.nfl.com and sign up now. DJ. You know, as former scouts, one thing that we love is we love rebuilding projects. We love building things up from the ground floor, seeing what it looks like when it's all done. I know you're a big fan of HGTV, and so I got a project for you. The LA Rams, the defending champion LA Rams, have fallen on hard times. They look broken. They can't get it going. And so what I want to do is spend a couple of moments trying to figure out if we can help Les Snead and Sean McVay figure out how to fix the Rams. So I'm going to let you start. What would you do first if you were going to fix the defending world champs?
Well, I think you have to explore different strategies, right? You want to always zig when everybody else is zagging. And this is a Rams team that, first of all, let's get it out there. They won a Super Bowl with their philosophy of parting with picks. We all know about the famous T-shirts and the slogans that went along with that. Getting proven premium star players at premium positions. And they went out, accumulated that group, and they went out and won a Super Bowl. Now, they don't have high picks. They haven't had them in a while. But one thing they do have is they have their own first-round pick in 2024. So not this upcoming draft, but the one after that. So if we're looking at this roster as it is currently constructed, and you look at where Matt Stafford is and where he's been from a health standpoint and age standpoint, it begs the question of maybe it's time to pivot. You know, this is a team that was, even at the trade deadline, was reportedly offering two first-round picks for Brian Burns and trying to keep this window open with this current group. I don't know if this window continues to stay open, you know, going into next season, especially, you know, monitoring Matthew Stafford and his health. So I'm sitting here looking at this, Buck, saying, you know, maybe this is a pivot point, and you look at some of your established players and some of your veteran stars that you have when you think about Aaron Donald, Leonard Floyd, Cooper Kupp, some of these guys on huge deals, making a ton of money, and you could say, okay, maybe we take a step backward. I don't want to say the word tanking, but maybe it is a rebuild opportunity. And as we look ahead, one draft class ahead, and you see Caleb Williams from USC, who will be in that draft class. You look at the guy from your school and Drake May at North Carolina, who is a big time quarterback. Again, I'm not using the word tanking, but I'm saying maybe this is a sell-off and you're trying to get some of these veterans in a new home. And we have to see what happens with Aaron Donald, if he even wants to play going forward. Obviously, Jalen Ramsey would be in that mix as well, would be a huge, huge asset if you wanted to move him. But you could try and let's just tear it down. Let's rebuild it. No, in no way, shape, or form am I saying I don't agree with the way they did it. They won a Super Bowl. Anybody would trade that. Even if you're going to have 10 down years, I would accept that trade-off to go win a championship and bring it to Los Angeles. But I think they might have to change the strategy and have a little bit of a pivot point here. What do you think?
Oh, okay. So I get what you're saying. So what you're saying, because we're getting close to winter meetings and those things, is you want the LA Rams to become like the Miami Marlins, who were back, the Florida Marlins, when they won a World Series, tore it down, came back, took a while, won a World Series, tore it down, had a fire sale, do all of that. Let's enjoy the two rings. Let's not worry about all the stuff in between. But here's the thing, DJ. You're right, because I don't know how they can sustain a successful model with the players that they have, because the reality of the situation is their money is now tied into older players. Matthew Stafford being a guy in his 30s, Aaron Donald being in his 30s, Jalen Ramsey inching towards 30. You now have to look at, what can I fetch for my best players? So if you're going to do that, then Les Snead has to change his shirt instead of, F those picks. No, I need more of those picks, because he's going to need a ton of picks to be able to fix this team, because they're not going to be able to do it by spending hard. So my thing would be, of those guys, who is the one that you would deem to be maybe the most expendable? Maybe you get rid of Jalen Ramsey, because maybe he brings back the most in value because of his age and the position. Aaron Donald certainly would be up there too, but with the retirement talk, you wonder how much longer is he going to play. But you have to get some marquee picks in return, and then it's on Les Snead and the scouting staff to turn those picks into players. But I think now, because you're so used to giving away those picks, now you want to bring those back because you need that draft capital to get the young players that you need to handle the situation that you have in this salary cap mess that you kind of created for yourself, even though you won a Super Bowl doing it.
And I think that you also have to understand the nuance of it. You're not saying, if you traded Jalen Ramsey, we're not saying, okay, we think you're going to get equivalent value in those picks. But when you trade Jalen Ramsey, truth be told, your team's not going to be as good. And if your team's not going to be as good, you're going to get a chance to pick higher. You're going to get a chance to get one of these quarterbacks. So you don't look at it as I'm trading Jalen Ramsey for these picks. I'm trading Jalen Ramsey to increase my odds of being able to land one of these premier young and cheap quarterbacks that I can build the rest of my roster around. Now, I'll use those picks I get with Jalen Ramsey, assuming, you know, they're in the, you know, in 10 to 25 range or somewhere in there. We can build and supplement and support the rest of our roster. But all of a rebuild is about landing the quarterback and doing whatever you can to put yourself in position to get the next quarterback. Again, this is, you know, kind of assuming with Matthew Stafford, his age and injury history, and the inability with your lack of high picks and financial flexibility to be able to support him with a bunch that of things he's going to need. I just think it's all about the quarterback. You got to find the next one.
Yeah, no, it's funny, DJ. It's funny how this team kind of fell off the mountaintop in a hurry. And it's also funny when you look at what we talk about, the marquee positions that you have to have to play well in this league. You have to have a quarterback. You have to have a pass rush. You have to have an elite or a marquee corner or a defensive back. Well, those are the three guys that we mentioned, Matthew Stafford, Aaron Donald, Jalen Ramsey. The issue is now when you remove those guys, you don't have that on your roster. So it's going to be very hard for you to compete in the new world until you're able to get those young guys from the draft. And so can your team stomach the losses while you're trying to do the rebuild? That is going to be the hard part. And, you know, I don't know, because not only are we talking about the fan base stomaching that, is Sean McVay built to stomach that? Because we've heard the flirtations that have gone on between him and TV and all that stuff. Is he going to stick around to rebuild the Rams? I think there are a ton of questions that have to be answered at the end of the season. Sean McVay, his willingness to take on a rebuilding project, where the Rams want to go when it comes to rebuilding. Can they rebuild on the fly by jettisoning off some of their players and drafting? Or do they still think, hey, it was a weird season, we had some injuries, let's run it back one more time and see if we can make another run at it if everyone is healthy?
Yeah, and I'm just looking at some of these other teams, and I know Sean McVay, it's been discussed and talked about with him, you know, going into television and that being an opportunity. But I look at a team that, you know, if you're a team that's going to make a head coaching change and you feel like you have a quarterback and you've got a chance, you know, going forward, I would trade a first-round pick for Sean McVay in a heartbeat. I mean, if they really wanted to go full rebuild, I guess it's one of the rare teams. You could actually include the coach, you know, in terms of, you know, existing assets that you have. I mean, I think he's going to be, you know, he's on track to be a Hall of Fame coach. I would have a hard time ever making that move. But, I mean, it is one of those rare instances where your coach is also an incredible asset.
Yeah, I mean, you go all the way back, it would be funny because – he'll be following in his mentor steps, John Gruden, because remember the Raiders traded away John Gruden to get back some rookie picks when they sent him to Tampa Bay years ago. And this could be a little bit of that deja vu when it comes to it. But when you're the Rams, you have to explore all options, particularly if it looks like the bottom is going to fall out like it's beginning to. Yeah, everybody's up for sale. Because this team, let's be honest, DJ, when you look at this team is not a great team. And despite the names that I love and I've loved for a long time in terms of Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey, they just don't have enough firepower to compete with some of the top teams in the NFC. And so if you're going to do it, yeah, you can prolong the window and maybe you can be 500 this year and maybe another 500 or a mid-level record the following year. But at some point, you're going to have to pay your taxes. You might as well rip off the Band-Aid and let's start the work to rebuilding this team into a title contender. And that might mean making some tough decisions on some of the players to help you bring the Super Bowl ring less than a year ago.
Yeah, it's going to be they're a team to keep an eye on in the offseason. That's going to be a fascinating watch to see how they proceed, how they go forward here, and what direction they head. I know one thing, Les Snead is one of the best leaders and evaluators in the NFL. You look at all the guys he's hit on day two and day three of the draft. He's going to have an opportunity with more picks. I know he's the one who kind of coined the phrase, But I actually would feel comfortable with him having a bevy of picks to be able to try and rebuild this thing and get it done. So interesting team to watch as we go forward. Okay, we're going to take a break. We come back. We're going to play a little game called Dead or Alive. We're going to look at some of these teams that are on the edge here, on the fence of being playoff contenders. We're going to push them off the fence one way or the other. We'll do that right after this.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
We're going to play a little game here, a little Dead or Alive. Are we buying or selling the playoff hopes and aspirations of some teams here? So we've got three teams in the AFC we're going to go through. We've got four teams in the NFC, Buck. Let's start here in the AFC with the Cleveland Browns. We talked a little bit about them yesterday on the show, but your thoughts on them. 4-7, currently they're 13th in the AFC. What do you think?
Oh, they're alive. They're alive because they get their franchise quarterback coming back. I know it's been a two-year hiatus since we last saw Deshaun Watson playing consistent football, but now they have an opportunity to bring him back. He's practiced for the last couple of weeks. When he was right the last time we saw him on the field, he was a top five quarterback. You would like to think that Kevin Stefanski has been planted on this moment to really upgrade this offense. And the thing about Deshaun is he steps into an offense that doesn't necessarily need him to carry them right away. Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt, the running game, they can get it done. Amari Cooper's already out there waiting for him to be his number one receiver. David Njoku being able to control it over the middle. If he just can be what I call a game manager plus, manage the situation, add a little playmaking ability to what they already have, there's no reason why the Cleveland Browns can't make a little run and kind of get into the postseason through the back door.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, I think if you're looking at a kind of a sleeper team to go on a run and crazy as this sounds, maybe even win out, I think they have the pieces in place. It's a talented roster. Now you add an elite level quarterback, and there might be a little bit of rust, but I think he's going to get a little time here against his old team in Houston this first week to try and get his legs back underneath him and be able to try and get back into a rhythm. If he can do that, I think this Cleveland Browns team is very much alive. Let's go to the next one here with the Las Vegas Raiders. Same record, 4-7 currently. What do you think, Buck?
You know, here's the thing about the Raiders. I think the Raiders have kind of found their way in terms of their identity. Josh McDaniels has finally embraced the thought of players, not plays. Meaning, when you look at the Raiders and you look at what they've been most successful at of late, when the ball goes to Josh Jacobs, the ball goes to Davante Adams, the Raiders win games. And so I'm going to keep it very simple. I'm going to make sure that number 28 gets a ton of touches. Number 17 is the primary weapon that we go to in the passing game. And I'm going to see if other teams can stop our best guys. Because if they can stop our best guys, then more than likely they're going to win. But it's been proven the last few weeks, teams can't stop their best players. So I'm going to feed the pigs and let them go to work. Josh Jacobs, Davante Adams, they have heavy workloads. This team absolutely can kind of climb back into contention as a playoff contender.
Yeah, this is a team, again, sitting here where they are at 4-7. Last year, they were 6-7 at one point and ended up finishing 10-7. They got hot at the end and they were able to get in. I'm going to say dead for this reason. I'm looking at the schedule, Buck. They've got the Chargers this week, which will come down to the last play. It feels like all those games do. But that's going to be a tough contest. Then you look later on, you got to play the New England Patriots. The last game of the year, you have Kansas City, which maybe Kansas City has things wrapped up. Maybe they're taking a knee at that point in time, but you can't assume so with only one team getting a bye. And the week before that, you have the San Francisco 49ers. So I'm looking at those as three very difficult games. I'm not even counting the Pittsburgh game or the Rams game. But if you have those three difficult games, man, if they lose two games, I mean, they're under 500. They're not going to the playoffs at 8-9. So that the schedule, I think, is what leads me to believe that this team is going to have a tough time. I think they've just dug too deep of a hole to be able to climb out of. So I'm going to go against you on that one. Your thoughts?
Well, I mean, here's the thing. The reality of it is they've been up and down. I mean, this is a team that we thought was going to be one of the top teams in the AFC, and they flubbed away a bunch of games at the beginning of the year. So now you are playing with little wiggle room when it comes to being able to remain alive as a playoff contender. And so it's on Derek Carr. It's on Josh Jacobs. It's going to be on Davante Adams to make the plays. And then Patrick Graham and this defense, they got to find someone else outside of Max Crosby to make plays. yeah, the odds are long. I'm just going to kind of continue to stick with the silver and black and just say that Josh McDaniels finds a way to get him into the winner's circle.
All right, this next one, I think you're contractually obligated to say the Jacksonville Jaguars are alive. I'm not going to allow you to jeopardize your employment with the Jags to say that this team is dead at this point in time at 4-7. But I will make the argument for this being a little bit of a tough haul here for the Jags. Keep in mind, when I saw your team, I saw the Jags live and in person with that Charger game. It was a dominant performance. You see Trevor Lawrence do what he did last week, a huge win over the Baltimore Ravens. But I'm looking at the schedule, Buck. You still got two with Tennessee. You got to go on the road and play the Jets. You've got the Dallas Cowboys. That is a rough, rough schedule for them to try and navigate into the AFC playoffs. I think that's going to be a tall order and a tough ask.
It's going to be a tough ask. And here's the thing, DJ. Like, what's going to happen if you're a Jaguars fan? You can look back at the early part of the year and look at some of the games that you may felt like that you gave away. You lose the Houston Texans. You lose to the New York Giants in a game that you had under your control. Those are the ones, even the Denver Broncos, those are the ones that you want to have back, because if you win those games, you have a little cushion. It gives you an opportunity to still bounce back from some losses down the stretch. But right now, there is no wiggle room for the Jacksonville Jaguars. It'll be interesting to see. The quarterback got hot. If the quarterback continues to stay hot, that gives him a chance. But man, it's hard. Tough road.
So of those 4-7 teams, I think we're most confident, if we put both of our opinions together, on the Cleveland Browns as a team. Man, keep an eye on them. They're not done yet. Keep an eye on the Cleveland Browns. The Raiders and the Jags, a lot of great pieces in place there. Schedule is going to be a challenge. So I think they have a little bit more difficult road going forward there for those two squads. All right, flip it over to the NFC. The Carolina Panthers are 4-8, but they have to be alive. When you look at that division and where they're positioned right now, their record inside the division, I think absolutely they're alive.
Yeah, absolutely. They are alive. And I will give your former Mountaineer, Steve Wilks, a lot of credit for holding this thing together. In the midst of chaos, he has found a way to kind of right the ship and reestablish the values of the culture that were established there when he was there with Ron Rivera. This team is playing good defense. Sam Darnold might be a bit of a discovery as a quarterback. They're running the football very well. And one of the things that we talk about down the stretch, if you can run it and defend the run, it gives you a chance.
Yeah, well, look at this. I mean, you tell me right now going forward. They have a bye coming up right now. After that, they are at Seattle, who's come back to earth a little bit. You have the Pittsburgh Steelers, who are playing a little bit better, but still under 500. You've got the Detroit Lions, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, a Tampa Bay Buccaneers team you beat 21-3 earlier in the season, and then a struggling New Orleans Saints team. I mean, these are all winnable football games for the Panthers coming down the stretch.
Yeah, and this is the thing. This is a team that now has confidence. DJ, they have confidence because they won three games at home under Wilks. They're running the football. They're physically running the football at people, and the defense is beginning to stand up. So if you get that, coming off the bye week, you can build on the things that you've started to establish the last couple weeks. Yeah, it's not out of the realm of possibility to see the Carolina Panthers go on a nice run to end the season and somehow swipe the division crown, because it's right there for them.
Yeah, this next one here, I don't think we need to spend much time on them. The Arizona Cardinals, body language-wise, the end of that game, the Chargers game, I was just at, not good. Yeah, Kyler Murray, what he said post-game, not good. There's no good vibes coming out of that organization at this point in time. And talking to some folks there before the game, it's an odd setup, to say the least. I can't have much hope for this team trying to turn this thing around this year.
Yeah, no. I mean, at some point, this team has to show some toughness, some resolve, some grit, and they haven't been able to do it. So we'll see. Like, you pay the quarterback the amount of money that they paid the quarterback. At some point, the quarterback has to lead them out of this, regardless of the situation and circumstance, who's available, who's not, who's calling the plays, etc. He has to take his game up a notch, and not only take his game up a notch, but he has to inspire his team through his leadership. It's one of the things that we just haven't seen. So we'll see if the Cardinals can turn around. But right now, I would say the situation is bleak for the Bird game.
All right, let's get to Nabil's Green Bay Packers. I mean, they just gave up over 350 yards rushing. It's not great timing to have this discussion about whether they're dead or alive. It does look like Aaron Rodgers, I guess, said today that he's going to try and play. If he's able to play, he's going to play, which is unfortunate for the Packers, because personally, I'd rather get a look at Jordan Love, use this as an audition for him at the end of the season. So that's a lose-lose for me. But, I mean, I can go through their games and I can look at, you know, Miami, Minnesota, some of these teams they got to play. I could rationalize it that way, but this is just an eye test thing. I mean, this is not a playoff team. It sure as heck is not a playoff defense.
No, it's not a playoff defense. They had a tough time. And whenever you give up 300-plus on the ground, I mean, you talk about a copycat league. Ooh. That tape couldn't circulate around the league fast enough for teams to figure out game plans to deal with the Green Bay Packers. But the other thing is this, Aaron Rodgers wasn't playing great before, and now he's really injured. How much longer is he going to be available for this team? And if he's not available, if he's hurting, he's banged up, you might as well throw the young guy in there. Because I will say this about Jordan Love. When we watched him play the second half, it might be mop-up duty, whatever. He looks new and improved in terms of a player, more decisive. The accuracy was on point. Just looked very, very comfortable in that offense. Man, why not? If you're sitting there on the edge of being eliminated, you might as well put the young guy in and start building towards the future. No one wants to hear that, but guess what? That's the reality.
Yeah, that's true. 100%. It's a missed opportunity not to get a chance to see Jordan Love coming down the stretch here. Last one here, the Detroit Lions, they are 4-7 right now. But a team that's won three of their last four, and we most recently saw them on Thanksgiving give Buffalo all they could handle. They end up dropping that game by 3 points. But they're playing excellent football as of late. You look at their schedule going forward, Jacksonville, Minnesota, at the Jets, at the Panthers, Chicago Bears, at the Packers. I mean, look, the Jacksonville is a solid team. Minnesota is a really good team. The Jets are a good team. I mean, they're playing great ball, Buck, but I don't know if the schedule is going to afford them what they need to be able to get in the back door here.
Yeah, they don't necessarily have enough cupcakes, but here's what I will say that they have. They have an identity, and, man, their brand, people are already talking about how tough and physical this team is. And when you get late in the year, when it really matters, and even though this is a dome team, they play the kind of football that gives you an opportunity to win in December, in January. They can run the football. They're physical up front. They have a solid offensive line. Jared Goff is a nice manager who has also won at a higher level. So he understands how to play great situational football and make the plays that are there to be made. But of late, DJ, the defense is playing better. It's not great. It's not a shut you down defense, but they've been opportunistic. They've created opportunities for the offense, and the offense has cashed in. If they continue to play complementary football the way that they're playing, particularly against some of the banged up teams that they'll face down the stretch, the Packers and Bears included, maybe, just maybe, they get to the edge of being able to get into the postseason. Might not get there, but look, man, I think it's reasonable to maybe squint and say maybe this team ekes out 8 wins by the end of the year.
Yeah, this team has lost 5 games by 4 or less. So, I mean, this could easily be a 9-win team right now. They are in a lot of football games. So crazy. I think the good news for the Lions, even if they don't get into the playoffs, you can see progress. You can see where this thing is headed. Buck, you mentioned it. They have an identity. That's what you're looking for a young football team. So there you have it. There's kind of our dead or alive look at the teams kind of on the fence there in the AFC and the NFC. I want to get to my claws, my cleats here, Buck, because this week NFL players are wearing customized cleats in honor of the causes they support through the My Cause, My Cleats. Text MCMC to 635-635 to hear players' stories. Bid on their custom cleats for charity and learn more about how they're making a difference in their communities. And I understand, Buck, you have your own pair of My Cause, My Cleats. Let's see those bad boys and tell me about them.
Okay, so DJ, I do have a cause that I've connected with in rejoining and working with the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Jacksonville Jaguars have teamed up with what we call the Bail Project. And the Bail Project is a project that is really fighting against mass incarceration. The money bail system really holds a lot of people back. It criminalizes some people of color and some people that are in poverty because they simply do not have enough money to raise bail. So, you know, they're not able to wait pretrial. And so sometimes the presumption of innocence is taken away. And so Jacksonville, the Jaguars, have donated handsomely to this project. And so I wanted to be on board because everyone should have an opportunity to have their day in court. The Bail Project gives those people that opportunity, and so I'm supporting it.
Oh, very cool. That's a good-looking shoe there, too, Buck. It's very nice, beautiful-looking shoe.
How about that, my Air Force Ones?
I remind everybody.
Like, that's a doable shoe. Like, I might have to rock this on the sideline a little bit, you know?
Yeah, you can definitely rock that. It's a good-looking shoe. Again, text MCMC to 635-635. You can hear all these players' stories. Really, really cool. I also want to encourage you guys, Bills Patriots, that's coming up Thursday Night Football, 8:15 p.m. Eastern. That is on Prime Video, also available on NFL Plus. Should be a huge game there in a stacked division right there in the AFC East, so be on the lookout for that. It's been a fun show today. Appreciate you guys hanging with us. Want to remind you, you can find more Move the Sticks content on NFL's YouTube channel, NFL.com, the NFL channel, and the NFL app. Hope you guys enjoy the soccer match. If you haven't seen it already, if it's already taking place, hopefully you're celebrating a big win. We'll have a chance to get together one more time this week as we preview a huge weekend of conference championship games in college football, as well as a big NFL weekend as well. That's going to do it. Thank you so much for listening to Move the Sticks.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.